Hi everyone, I'm live and alive and kicking at long last. Sorry, I thought I had a little technical hitch again. I always seem to be at least a minute late. Forgive me for that. First things first, can you see and hear me? Let me know that you can indeed. I've got Auckland, New Zealand, Peter. That's fantastic. Thank you, Wet Wales. What's interesting is people have already told me where they're from before I was about to ask them. I was going to ask you, where are you from at the moment? Vladislav, hello. How are you? Roger, Malcolm, everyone else. Thank you as you settle in. Please get comfortable. You might want to have a camera phone so you can take little photos of some of the screens just in case you miss it. Let me share my screen and get on with the market. It's and actually I'm not going to anticipate anything. I'll just tell you how everything's going this year so far, what I like, what I don't like. And so Ben, you can hear me in Nuneaton. Thank you. Thank you very much. David, Slovakia. I have been to Slovakia. I've also been to Slovenia as well. Rochester, I haven't been there. Thank you all very much. And let me know if it's your first time on the webinar as well. So getting right into it. Well, some things which caught my eye. Taiwan Semiconductor gains $42 billion to pass Visa as investors bet on AI. This AI thing is just, it's like the internet in 1999, isn't it? We'll have to see what happens with NVIDIA's results. I do not know which way they're going to go. I just don't know. I mean, the expectations are so high. I don't gamble before earnings. By the way, for those of you who don't know and still want to come to my event in Parliament, my business event, which I'm co-hosting, Inspirational Journeys of Women Shaping Careers, Business and Society. Just email me because it's now full. So I'll have to send you a ticket directly. There are about 200 people networking, House of Commons, 6 p.m. next week, 6 till 8. Just email me if you need to, if you would still like to attend. And it'll be about 50% men, 50% women, even though it is women on the panel that I'm co-hosting. Now, S&P 500 forecast, you've got this massive range. I discussed this before. So given that there is this massive range, given the billions being added because of AI, how come I'm reading this in The Independent? You know, it's not Liz Truss, though. Bloody hell, it does look like her and stands like her. It's a poor lady called Debbie Ross. Imagine that by this stage in her life, she'd be able to work less now. That seems an impossible dream, and she feels cheated. And she's been working since 21, and she'll have to work till she dies. And it's a whole argument, because I've not had an extravagant lifestyle, but I did think that once I turned 60, I'd be able to take life a little easier. There is a travesty going on with our pensions. Let's see if we can... The one thing I can do, the only thing I can do, I can't wire money into her account or anybody else's. The one thing I can do is share knowledge. So I'm going to share some of that knowledge with you. But I have been shocked. Maybe I'm noticing these articles more now because I'm thinking about it more, because I'm seeing more of it and talking about it more. And yet on the flip side, Norway's giant wealth fund taps possibility of Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly joining the $1 trillion club. So we know these stocks into which pensions could invest, but British pensions, for some reason, don't. The Norwegian pensions do. The American pensions do. Are doing incredibly well for others, but they're just not doing well for us. How come there's a whole bunch of people who are missing out? You know, what's going on? By the way, as a quick aside, I found this week. Do take a picture of it if you wish. Do sort out your wills. And all of these are, I'm not linked to any of these, but they are vetted by people I trust. So do have a look in terms of wills. And doesn't actually cost much, does it? Look, £80 and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, have a look, take a picture. Is something worth. And somebody else told me about this. I didn't know about Flagstone. I'm not linked or affiliated to them. My point is this. On my Wise Instant Bank account, I get about 4.9% interest on my Wise Bank account, which is what some of these banks, who I've never heard of and I'm not with, but they're all regulated and they're all protected with the FSCS. 4.9 is what you should be getting on your cash for instant access right now. If you're not getting 4.9%, something's wrong. So do check that up. Now, let's talk about investing, okay? Generic investment strategies provided by IFAs fail to account for individual risk tolerances, retirement goals, potentially compromising pension adequacy. I've done a whole series of these on Instagram. And I'm going to talk about some of these things as to why people underperform. That's put it in very posh language up there. But in actual fact, I can put it in a lot simpler language. IFAs don't give a crap. They just dump it into a whole load of bundle of other people's funds. And then they'll speak to you once a year. You won't even meet them. Right. So I've done a whole bunch of videos, as you know, on YouTube, St. James's Place and others, where I'm dissecting those pensions and why they're losing you money. So have a look at that. This is what people said. Pensions low returns over 1 to 5 years. These, out of the people we asked, this is 41% of them said this. 42% of them, there was an overlap. Some people said more than one thing. Clueless. So we're going to deal with that here as well. Here's a little illustration. I was playing around with this last night. This is what I do late at night on my computer. Okay, and I'll do more of these, actually. Let's say you had $350,000 and you contributed $1,000 a month, for argument's sake. Now, that's a big number. So, and that's a number worth trying to achieve if you've got Eli Lilly becoming a trillion-dollar company and you've got Meta this over the last 12 months up 250% and Nvidia up 250%. And these aren't small companies, okay? They're trillion-dollar companies. And, well, what that would mean is, in 5 years, and we're compounding yearly, not monthly, which would give us an even bigger number, well, then we can get to somewhere in just 5 years, which might be a bit more comfortable for a lot of people. A lot of people are going to feel uncomfortable with that if they're in their 40s, and certainly if they're in their 50s. Okay, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable in their 50s with that, right? Even pre-60s, the lady I showed earlier would. So how do we try and get anywhere near there? Okay, here's another example I've given. You're on track for 1.6 million at retirement. If you take 76,000 per year out, and that'll last you till 92. Well, we'd all love to hit those numbers, wouldn't we? I'm sure you would say, well, yeah, that's all right. 76 grand, I could live on that. My wife couldn't even, my son couldn't live on that. But anyway, could live on that. But I think, you know, I grew up in Armley. You could bloody well live on that, all right? You're on track to have 1 point. How? Well, if you're 52 and you plan to retire at 65 and your pension pot's 500, so you've got to get to 500,000 by 52, hopefully. Annual retirement income is that, and your monthly contributions, that's where it's going. Now, this is assuming about a 5%, no, 4.5% rise compounded over those years. So actually, if you can get that number up, there are things which are achievable. So we'll look into those things as well. Ian, they're not on, they're on my if you don't do Instagram, they're also on my Telegram. Alpishpatel.com/links. You'll be able to see it on my Telegram. Andrew, thank you. Beautiful Belfast. Alan, as well. Welcome one and all on here. So what's happening at the moment? Well, everything's expensive with the exception of telecom services of Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, healthcare companies aren't, energy companies are not, banks are not. And you've seen Barclays shoot up as well. Banks aren't expensive because bloody hell, 4.5% interest rates or whatever they're charging you for to lend to you, they'll be charging what, 9%? Whatever. High interest rates means banks get to make more money. Right? They can squeeze an extra percentage point out of you. When interest rates are at 0.1%, they can't squeeze 1% out of you, right? But they can easily throw in a couple of percentage points. So they're making billions. So banks are cheap. What does all this mean? It means you're paying $30 to buy $1 of future profits in Microsoft. Future expected, not guaranteed, future expected profits. Why would you pay $30 for a Microsoft $1 and only pay $10 for future expected profits from ExxonMobil? Because you've got lower expectations of them? Well, sort of. It's to do with growth. So what this says is valuation is not the only factor which moves stock prices, and overvalued companies can sometimes be good ones to own as long as they're growing and they're providing income and they've got strong cash flow. In other words, when people say, Alpesh, I'm just going to put you in a value fund, or, well, that company's overvalued, they're idiots, because if they're only going to put you in a value fund, they've decided they're going to ignore a ton of other information as to what moves stock prices like growth. And if they say, well, that company's overvalued, yeah, and that's like saying, well, you're brown, and great, insightful. There are other factors which are in play than just valuation. Valuation is important, but it's not the only factor. So we'll come back to that, and it just shows you what is happening with expense. This is just a quick overview. So S&P, going sideways a little bit there. Similarly with NASDAQ, I mean, let's hope, and Microsoft is falling off a bit. Famous last words, in 3 hours, Nvidia will announce its results. And if they don't look good, then some of these might crack lower. If they are good, then these will soon turn over. Now, what's interesting is there's been quite a bit of selling in Nvidia before. And there's an old saying, buy the rumor, sell the fact, or sell the rumor, buy the fact. I think there's a lot of people who are a bit scared about getting rid of their sort of seeing their profits dwindle. And so they've jumped ship a bit early. Meta, of course, still doing okay. You can see quite a bit of profit takings happen recently over some of these. And well, I honestly don't know what's going to happen with NVIDIA. I do not know. I don't gamble before earnings. What I do know is, any stocks I own, I'll hold for 12 months, then redo this exercise of going through 10,000 equities, and I need to tick the valuation box, the growth box, the income box. Now, it's really simple, and people go, yeah, but has that worked out for you then? Well, forget the numbers, and I'll show you how it's worked out for me in a second. And it's been, other than winning competitions in the Financial Times, and you can read the books about how well it's done, but actually, let's just think about qualitatively. Forget the data, which I will show you. Qualitatively, I'm looking at undervalued companies which are growing and producing income with strong cash flows. Oops. Good momentum. Oh, by the way, hedge fund industry, Citigroup, research shows that's important. Goldman Sachs Wealth Management says if you're in the top 25% by Crokey, should generate as a basket of stocks 30% per annum on average over the long term, okay? And value growth income, well, that's three Nobel Prize winners, Daniel Kahneman, Richard Thaler, and Eugene Famer, who say you should be looking at a large basket of stocks, and then what moves stock prices? Valuation, growth, dividend yields. Value is twice as important as growth, is twice as important as income. Sortoon and Alpha, that's the whole hedge fund industry. Really simple. Alpha is stock market goes up, your stock goes up more. Stock market falls, your stock doesn't fall more than the falls. That's alpha. Well, alpha is what everybody wants, outperformance of the market. So here's a little secret. Why did it never occur to all these fund managers to just say, you know what, why don't I just look at the alpha of the individual stocks and buy a basket of those? Genius. Yeah. I'm never going to get the Nobel Prize in economics with something as obvious as that. Guess what? People don't do it. I know. Shocking. But that can't guarantee you, like all of this still can't guarantee you. And we know it can't guarantee you a positive return because in 2022, Meta falls 80%. We didn't fall with it. I'll show you why, because protecting your gains is important. How can you do that? And the year after it rises 250%. So same company. How come you can't guarantee it? We need all these first five columns to be green. Sortino, incredibly important. All it means is risk reward. Average return versus the consistency with which you hit it. If you keep hitting a really good return, then you got a higher Sortino than if you just might have hit it once in 10 years and are crowing about it, like Scottish Mortgage, which dropped 50% in people's pensions because it dragged down with all the tech stocks because they can't go into cash as fund managers. How's the past week been? Well, it's definitely been out of tech. Now on TV, when I used to do my Bloomberg show, this is the time we'd go on air about 7 o'clock. 7 till 8, it was a 1 hour show, and we'd start saying things like, well, looks like there's a rotation into healthcare from technology and from into banks. So definitely money leaving tech for this past week. But that's it. So what? It's only a week. But what's healthy and good about this is we've got more stocks to pick from, because if money is willing to go into other companies, and we know some of these were undervalued, then that gives us more choice than just being concentrated in technology alone. We do want to be concentrated in technology, but not only technology, I suspect. Okay. Theo, Raj, I'm going to answer your questions in just a second, my friend. Peter, and thank you for the link. I'll have a look at that as well. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. No, I'd love that. Oh, I know that one. That is a very good one, Peter. That link you've put and shared with everyone from the US government is a very good one. I've used it myself before. Thank you. ETFs 1 month performance. I'm not going to talk much about these. What I'll say to you is this. If you're interested in individual countries, there they are. But be careful. Some of these are leveraged. So don't think, ooh, I've got an exchange traded fund, a balanced fund, which will give me 7% in a month. No, that's leveraged. So be careful about that. I'll talk about these separately in more detail elsewhere. So how are we doing year to date? Well, unusually, the S&P 500 is actually a tiny bit ahead of the NASDAQ. Both are up 4%. The Dow half as well. And the Brits are losing money. So most British people's workplace pensions will be in basically tracking the UK market. And so they'll already have lost some money this year. Anyway, the Americans, they're getting richer because Americans really need to get richer, don't they? Now, what is driving this? Now, I like this. Communications companies are pretty important year to date. They're driving it. And so is healthcare, as you saw. And so are financials. And so are tech. Interestingly, contrary to what people blab about, and this is why I like data over narrative, how come nobody's saying, hey, communications companies are the ones leading the charge? Because they all talk narrative. Oh, tech, AI, tech. Well, actually, it's communications companies. Sorry, it's not tech. Actually, it's healthcare companies. Sorry, that's not tech. That's financials. So I like to look at the data and ignore the narratives on these things. And what about the factors? Momentum. That's why we always tick the momentum box, right? We tick the momentum. Is it up over the last few months, for instance? What else? Growth companies. Well, we tick the growth box, not just value. We tick every single factor. You know why? Because let's say momentum's in favor. Well, our stocks are momentum stocks. Great. What if growth is? Well, they're growth stocks. Great. What if value is? They're value stocks. Great. Think about it. Why would I want to gamble? Think of this like a horse race. And let's say they take off at the start of the year. And I say to you, okay, which horse are you betting on? And some of you go, momentum. Others of you go, oh, large cap growth. Some of you are going to win, some of you are going to lose. Do you know what I'm going to say? All of them. I own the whole bloody racetrack. Why? Because I've ticked the value box. So I can only have companies which are momentum. If they also happen to be value, won't matter because the momentum's what dragged them up. If they also happen to be growth, great, because growth has dragged them up. So even if they tick one of these lower boxes, they won't be in there because they're also in the higher box, and the higher box drags them up. Ta-da. Simple, right? Filter. We have multiple filters. Why would you not tick every box? It's like saying there's useful information, but I'm going to ignore it. No, I want all the information. I want to not ignore any of it. And I'll show you what I mean in my screen share. Come on. Here it is. Right. I'll give you an example. Let's get out of those. Right. 10,000 companies. And that's why you need 10,000. Because if you're going to be that picky, and it's my pension, damn right I'm picky, especially when there's 30% to the upside, at least, to try and go for. I mean, the NASDAQ goes up 55%. I want to be hitting those numbers. Right. Because if that's the bloody index and that's the tailwind, then yeah, it is worth the effort. So let's have a look at this then. Okay. By the way, just out of interest, S&P price change over the last month. I didn't get Ralph Lauren at all. I don't know what's made them go up so much. Interesting. Meta's up there, 23%. Great. Eli Lilly, $1 trillion company. Netflix, I'll cover again a little bit later, as you know. Now, this is an interesting thing about Netflix over the past month. So over a month ago, they had their results. Okay. And I said, there's some great results. Let me follow them and talk to you about them. I don't own it. I said, it's just a popular company. I'll talk about it. And look, it's got some good momentum. That was after results came out. So for those who think, oh, I've missed it. Result came out. I didn't own it. I don't have a conflict of interest with you. I don't own it. I said, I don't own it. And I kept covering it. It's up now 19% since then. The point being, you don't necessarily have to be in early and first. There are some which, because in the case of Netflix, it really was the momentum side of things, just the trend. Okay. So whilst value was okay, growth was great, income was poor on Netflix, the momentum part of it is what got it into my radar on those results, right? That's just the bottom S&P 500 out of interest. That's the FTSE 350 out of interest. It's the bottom out of interest. How do I quantify momentum? I'll show you. There's two ways. One is, and I'm going to show, what a brilliant question and perfectly timed. So if I look at the monthly MACD, what I can see on the S&P 500 at the moment, and that's my bullish case. Okay. There's a bull case. That's my base case. And you can say that's my bear case, but that's my bullish case for the year. 20% up from here. Right? Why? Well, that would be the bull case. It'll do this. That's momentum for me. That's the monthly, what's called the MACD. Now, like many hedge fund managers, we use these old-fashioned technical indicators just as one of many things in our armory, but that's one of them. right? And it's done all right for me in the past. If that's rising, I'm really comfortable. I'm really comfortable at the moment. If it's ever falling, like in 2022, I had to stay in cash most of the year, with the exception of some energy stocks in July. And it also meant whenever there was this rise, I didn't get into it because I said, I'm sorry, that won't last. And people go, oh, but arbitrage keeps going up, you're a fool. I said, nope, 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 won't last. And then boom, not only did it not last, you went lower than you were before. Okay, so unless that is flattened as it was in January 2023, I have to wait until January. You might say, no, the bottom was here. Yeah, it was, but I didn't have a time machine. I didn't have 2020 vision. It was that way. Okay, so another one, pretty positive about it. FTSE, probably going to do that. I don't know. Look, it's 7% above what it was in 1999. For God's sake, if they keep shoving your pension into UK companies, who's to blame? The fund manager, the IFA, or you? I'm not sure, but it's one of those three or all three together. All right? Whoops. Where are we on the NASDAQ? Very nice. I wrote in my first column in 1999. I'll dig it up for my next presentation, that I'm selling all my UK stocks and only buying US ones. Now, that wasn't because I foresaw the rise of NASDAQ or tech or anything like that, or the internet or AI. It wasn't anything to do with that. I'll tell you what it was, because I've written about it in one of my 18 books. I've written about it. And what I said, the reason I did it is because I had more data. Simple as that. I had more data. And that's why I did that. I've also written about how people constantly lose money as private investors and why they do. I mean, here's a classic. By the way, we produce programming and papers which get sponsors and advertisers. That's financial magazines and newspapers, and that's me writing about it when I was working at Bloomberg Television doing my show back in 1999 to 2000. So it's giving the inside tip of what's actually happening. Oh, you can download a free copy, alpishpatel.com/links of the book. It's published by Palgrave Macmillan, but you don't have to pay 30 odd pounds. NASDAQ, that's it. Apple. Now, Apple, would I buy more if I didn't own it? No. Because I'm afraid that I think the momentum's a bit downwards. That could easily be a double top, and therefore it goes to there. Would I continue holding what I've got? Yeah, because it's not fallen too much yet and could always rebound. It's, you know, not totally panic stations. And would I sell what I own? No, because I said not yet. Okay, that's Apple. Alphabet's going to be for my great investments members only. Microsoft, that's a very bullish projection. Very bullish projection based upon that. That's very bullish. And based upon that, Microsoft does this. It goes at this angle of inclination, okay? And then it goes at this angle of inclination. Then it goes back to that same angle of inclination. It's something, I mean, you know, it is one of the most watched companies in the world. Now, hopefully this isn't fizzling out. We've seen the highs for 12 months as we did here, but I'll keep an eye on it. At the moment, would I buy more? Yep. If I didn't own it, do I continue holding? Yes. Am I selling? No. All right. Amazon, also for great investments program users only. Disney, one of my special situations, as you know, that I continue holding. And it's doing well. Thank you very much. If you remember the story of my sister who'd asked me for my nephews, she needed a stock for their private school fees. And yeah, she's right. She's that posh. She is right posh. that was the story back in 2020. And you might remember it, what had happened and how I was favorite uncle and all the rest of it. Well, favorite uncle might be able to do it again. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to do that. It's got form. But yeah, looks okay at the moment. Don't forget on my YouTube channel, arpishpatel.com/links, why your pension fund manager should be locked up. NVIDIA. Huh. So I was showing somebody this. I said, look, yesterday, I said, I don't think it's going to do that. I do not think it's about to go up 41% in 2 weeks. Although if I put the snippet out there somewhere, could NVIDIA go up 42% in 2 weeks? And then you snip it enough. But no, I don't think it's going to do what Meta did. Okay, its results are tonight. I don't think it's going to go up what Meta did. My worry, as is the worry of many people, is it could have peaked and it's time to drop now. Can it continue rising? I mean, it's a $1 trillion company now. It's gone from, where did we get in? What are we? And we got in a little bit late, 193. It's now 700. So 200 to 700 in a year. Thank you very much. 256% gain. What we want to avoid is this, because I don't want these gains to then be wiped out and then I've got nothing to show for it over 2 years, which is what happens in your pensions. All these pension fund companies go, oh, we've got NVIDIA, aren't we clever? No, rising market, you're not clever at all. What would be clever is if they could get out of the bloody thing, which they can't, because they've got your money and everybody else's pulled together, so they won't be able to get out of it at all at any time soon, sadly for them. Okay? And that's why your pension seems great for years when the market's rising, and then you lose 2 years worth of it and you go back to square one. And then when the market does rise, you've still got a 0% return. And you say, wait a minute, but the market's gone up so much. Yeah, that was paying for the previous year. And the funny thing is, they'll show you this year's results. You go, oh my God, they're up 200%. And then what about last year? Oh shit, so over 2 years, they're up 0%. So what was the point of all of that for you? Bloody useless. This is a special situation. Tesla, I continue watching it. It's not one that we hold anymore because, as you know, I got out in October and it's not a special situation again. Special situations are those which narrowly miss my value growth income. So they miss being all green in these first five columns. They're not all green in these first five columns. However, despite that, they have some good momentum on the monthly MACD. Meta, I'm afraid that is Great Investments only, so is ServiceNow. Special situations, to give you a classic example, are ones like Intel, 12-month holdings still, which should give you some good returns over that period. Let's look at Netflix that I mentioned. I don't own it, but like I said, it was one which we talked about since they had their great results earlier in the year. Back then, and it just proves the point. There are things which you won't own, which you don't need to own, which can still go up, because the critical factor was it hit a lot of the value growth income stuff, not the value so much as growth, and momentum was strong. I never want to be holding a stock. Let me just put the bottom line here. I never want to be in a stock where the monthly MACD is overbought, falling beneath its signal line. Or so if the blue dots are below the yellow dots, put it that way, that's the signal line, that's the MACD. I never want to be in during that period. Why? Well, because those kinds of bloody things happen. Not every time, not guaranteed to, but they happen. Don't read too much into this, though. Don't think, oh, it works every time. It doesn't work every time. But that's not the point of it. The point of it is not that it works every time. The point of it is I just don't want to be in it when that's happening. That's why. I'm not trying to be right every time. What I'm trying to do is make sure I don't make any stupid mistakes. Here we go. Scottish Investment Trust YouTube, where I've got 1 million views. Have a look at those pensions and how they're destroying it. Now, this is not for me. Now, this is, again, make the point. I can talk about companies which I haven't bought. General Electric, okay, not for me, popular with hedge funds, that's why I've mentioned it, and it's a bit overbought. There'll come a point, and by the way, Palo Alto Networks was like this, and I said to you guys, I said, look, my friend's the chief executive officer, but I'm not going to go in despite that because it's overbought, and of course it dropped 20%. It was overbought. When that momentum is at the top end, which is only depicting that it's moved a lot in a small space of time, there is more probability of it being the slightest bit of news dragging it down. You know, sometimes people go, well, what was the negative news? What? Why did it drop so much? It wasn't about the news. The slightest bit, the straw will break the camel's back if there've already been a ton of straw put on the camel's back. And the ton of straw which is put on the camel's back is how quickly has this stuff moved upwards? If it's moved up a lot in a short space of time, then there's a lot of straw on the camel's back. This is another one, not for me, but it's been doing all right. It's not for me, not one I own, but it was popular with the hedge funds. Like I said, have a look at that. Oh, that's a repeat. Ooh. Wait a minute. That's the one we want. That's, yeah, just a repeat. I'm also on TikTok. Got a lot more to go through with you. I'm also on TikTok with not that many followers. It's now 300,000 plus. Those are the videos, why your pensions underperform. Please look on YouTube, alpeshpatel.com/links, and follow me on LinkedIn, where I'm a top voice alongside this guy. Don't know who he is. You'll get some good reviews. So I want to talk a bit more about some of these things and a bit more about the markets and answering your questions as well on those. So what the hell are we going to do about all of this? And especially the concern that people say, I've never done it myself. Well, actually, it's not rocket science. If somebody says to you, here's the transparency of the data, you need to tick value, growth, income, cash flow, Sortino, alpha, hold for 12 months. If it drops more than 25% from the highest it's been since you bought it, then look to get out. That's the simplest version of the rules. You can finesse it slightly, especially when you look at the fact that your IFAs keep underperforming because they keep buying dozens of funds, and each one of those funds has 100 stocks in it. I want to show you something else. They have too many funds with too many stocks. Now, let me show you something. Okay, what do you think's in Bill Gates's portfolio? Would you like me to show you what's in Mr. Gates's portfolio? Don't go out and buy these things. That's not why I'm showing you. I'll see if I can zoom in. Okay, that sort of zooms in. That's Mr. Buffett and that's Mr. Gates. By the time you get to their eighth largest holding, Moody's in this case, they've only got 2.5% of their portfolio in it. Whereas they've got 50% in Apple. You might say, well, it's all right for them. They've got private jets. Yeah, you're right about all of those things. But why is there such a concentration of wealth? Surely wealthy people don't want to take stupid risks given how much they are in the public eye and their profile and everything else. And you'd think they want to protect stuff. So what the hell's going on? Why have they got so much concentrated? Well, because the old saying, put all your eggs in one basket, watch the basket, as Warren Buffett says. So, but how can you do that? You can only do that with two things. One is the transparency of having the data to begin with, and secondly, the knowledge. So what is the knowledge? Now, what I say to my students, I'm going to show you this. What I think you should do is it comes down to this. When it comes to cash, what should I do with my cash? Well, what's the risk appetite? Now, most of the time, 5 years out of six, I'm over here, which means I'm just picking from my filtered list. One in 6 years, like 2022, I just have to keep waiting a month because the market momentum, the MACD I showed you, is just falling. So I won't get in, even if everything else is fine, especially when, as in 2022, it happens across six or seven stocks. So it's not that I can see into the future. It's not because I'm reading more economics books than anybody else. It's none of those things. It's the fact that, well, we'll have to wait a month if a whole bunch of companies are oversold and declining. Why the hell would I get in? Forget fundamentals. It won't matter. Momentum will take over. Fundamentals will work the rest of the time when the S&P is benign, i.e. there isn't a headwind. Then the fundamentals will work better. If there's a headwind, then momentum will work best. It's pretty obvious if you think about it. So that's NASDAQ, 55%. These people going, and of course, your IFA is saying, sorry, mate, bugger all. Too scared to sack. And that's your average pensioner by the looks of it. That's my desk. Now, what kind of returns are realistic? Last year, the NASDAQ was up 55%. The S&P was 25% up. The UK hasn't achieved those since, I don't know, Second World War, probably. Is 40% realistic? No. Don't be stupid. There are certain circumstances under which those kind of jumps up in a pension would be realistic. They would require certain conditions to be present. One, if there's a market tailwind. Now, surprisingly, 2021 and 2023, there was a massive rise in the markets, the S&P and the NASDAQ. Did I know that was going to happen? No. I actually thought it happened in 2022 as well, but it didn't. So no, I didn't think that. But we would need a tailwind to get a 40%. You can't get it if there's a headwind. What's going to happen this year? I don't know, but it looks okay, doesn't it? Looks okay this year. If there's a high Sortino, in other words, if the companies have high average return and low volatility to the downside, and they outperform the market a lot when the market rises, but they don't fall as far if it drops, you'll need number two. You'll need number three because, well, you just look at the numbers. Follow the data. Come on, for God's sake. Number four, if you can go to cash in a bad year like 2022, it's not about the money you make. It's about the money you keep. Excuse me. If you monitor once a fortnight, at least, why are you monitoring once a fortnight? Well, the classic example is, and the example I always give people, is what happened to Meta in 2022. And that exemplifies why Scottish Mortgage and Fundsmith destroyed your pension that year. Because I think they were deceitful in not telling you that they have no choice but to drag you down with the rest of the market. If you monitor it once a fortnight, you could at least have seen what I've written about in 18 books. If that scenario happens, don't be in it. Doesn't guarantee the market won't rise. Doesn't guarantee it will fall. What it guarantees is you do not want to be in it. All right, you know, I don't want to be in it when that happens. So we said in January 2022, and it wasn't just because it happened in Meta, happened in the S&P, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, a whole bunch of stocks. So it was like, okay, if there's synchronicity on downward momentum, guess what's going to happen? Well, you're going to look along and you go, oh, that's falling, that's falling. I know, I'll just buy this stock. No, everyone's going to go, I'm heading for the doors as well, because everybody's panicking. It multiplies, okay, obviously. That was obvious. Why did we get in? Well, because it was on our approved filtered list. And by then, we had momentum. January 2023. It was simple. It was on the list. Great. Did I know it was going to go up 250%? Nope. Did I know it was going to drop 80%? Nope. Not a clue. Okay. So why wouldn't you just hold? Why wouldn't you just buy and hold, which is what your IFA tells you? Look, Alpesh, it went back up. If we just bought and hold, no. A, you're not going to do it. And B, that would be a very good way to get poor. Because look, went up. What happened? You're not going to do it because you would have dropped 80% of your pension and lost 6 years of it. Don't tell me you're going to sit through an 80% drop in your pension and a six-year loss of your pension money. And then you're going to hold on to the same thing? I don't think so. And even if you did, great. So in 18 months, that went up 250%. You made 0% because it just brought you back to where you were. That's the fund management industry in a nutshell, why they screw you. Because they don't tell you you can't go into cash. Because you can't. Funds can't go into cash. They have to hold stocks. It's their mandate because they can't charge you for holding your cash. Banks pay you for holding your cash, for God's sake. If you monitor once a fortnight, like I said, if good years make up for bad, that's going to be essential. To get 40%, you're not going to get it every year, but you're going to get it in years like last year in 2021, as long as those years make up for 2022, where the market was 0%, basically. Okay. Croaky stocks are important because Goldman Sachs Wealth Management said that's what generates 30% per annum. Companies in the top quartile, top 25% by croaky. What's croaky? Cash return on capital invested. Why is that important? Warren Buffett put it best when he said, when he was asked, why did you buy See's Candy? And he said, they invested their capital in these machines, which are about 100 years old, and they make sweets. And every day the kids come in, put the cash down, eat the sweets. Next day they put the cash down, eat the sweets. Next day they put the cash down, eat the sweets. High cash return on capital invested, the ideal kind of business you want. What's the opposite of that? An airline. High capital invested on low cash return, right? You know, the old joke, how do you become a millionaire? Start with a billion and buy an airline. That's not just a joke. It's cash return on capital invested. We want stocks with good numbers for that. But I'll show you. Let's show you some. Okay. So why would I then not pick any of these companies, even though some of them have got that high cash return on, like MaxLinear has got a high cash return, because it can't be the only thing in my experience. I want a high Sortino, a high alpha, high momentum, and value growth income has to be higher. So I'm sorry, I'll need higher numbers, even though the croaky, and you can see it in a whole bunch of them, none of these would be in my portfolio or my son's junior ISA. Okay. And yes, he continues to have Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft. He's got 2x leverage on them because he's 6 and daddy is me. So he's got 2x leverage on Apple, Amazon, Microsoft. If hold for 2x leverage ETFs, if hold for 12 months, then reevaluate. Because if you hold longer than that, you saw what happened with Meta. You lose in 1 year, 6 years worth of mortgage. There's an old saying, the markets take the stairs on the way up. In other words, they take ages to rise and then the elevator on the way down. They fall like that. And that's what happened with Meta. Look at it. Look, the markets take the stairs on the way up. You think your pension's doing fine. You're buying that second home. You think you're going to retire early, 60% loss. Now, an IFA will say, well, that's just two things. You should have lots and lots of stocks and you should just buy and hold forever. Well, no, you should just do the obvious thing, which the IFA won't ever tell you to do, which is go into cash, because then they'd stop earning their fees, okay, and hold that cash. So, and I've seen the exam books they give the IFAs for their training. They're prehistoric. They still show the UK market doing better than the US, and that's this year's IFA training books. They're just, I mean, that's just one minor thing. If sell anything which drops, you've got to have some kind of exit rule. And the exit rule ultimately could be if it drops 25% from the highest it's been since you bought it, or like we'd ended up with Meta, if it drops 10%, we didn't have a 10% rule. It's just that it was 10% by the time this happened, by the time the MACD dropped. Now, remember, that's not to do with just technical. We're not looking at just the chart. We're looking at the fundamentals and a whole bunch of other stuff. And this is the problem when you don't do that approach. Okay, legal and general pension provided by my employer. The information was shocking. 20% growth between 2012 and 2022. 20% growth. As you can imagine, I've now taken steps to control those. At least I can get 5% there. As I said earlier, we have invested very funds, the returns around 20% this year. Okay. Following, as I said earlier, I had been following your weekly report and I've invested very limited funds, but I've seen returns of 20% this year. So let me get this straight. Just following me, she got 20% this year. And by the way, this was December 2023, whereas for the previous 10 years, so I did in 1 year what her employer's pension did in 10. Yeah, I bloody well expect so. And by the way, she said followed some. Last year, I would have liked it if she got more, but it was a good year. So that's common. What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Based on growth percentages provided in that lady, okay, that lady, with 100K. If she had just tracked even the NASDAQ, she would have got £482,000 back at the end of 10 years. If it was the S&P, she would have got £266,000 back. If it was just the UK market, she would have made at least £24,000 on 100,000. That's rubbish. That's why over the last 10 years, British pensioners have got dirt poor, the country's got poorer. Our national wealth has dropped because that's what your pension has. This is what your American counterpart's pension very often has. Very often has. Americans are more into equity investments anyway and are a lot more savvy about stocks. So let me get this straight, Alpesh. You're saying over the last decade, our country's got poorer because fund managers have been shoving money into things which have got very little. No, I'll tell you, fund managers have got rich. I should correct this. You've all got poorer. Fund managers have definitely got wealthier. Asset management, that's the business to be in. So my approach, 10,000 companies, put it all in, value, growth, income, cash flow, 12-month holding and then repeat, 12-month then hold, then repeat. Why? Because if these are undervalued companies which are growing, after 12 months, they should have overshot and we should be looking to exit them and then do the process again. Why would you not take in fresh data after 12 months and say, right, let's run it, rinse and repeat, okay? 15 to 40 stocks is roughly what I'm looking to hold. Why? Because that's ample. To protect my downside risk. So how did we do then last year? Well, I'm going to keep doing this all bloody year long because last year was unusual. Right, I'm going to give you some disclaimers before I tell you how we did, but I'm definitely going to brag about it because it's better than I expected. You know when people put stuff on social media where they go, huh, this is me in business class. They do that because they didn't ever expect to be there. The ones who expect to be there don't obviously do that. Or whatever else it might be, you know, some nice Michelin star restaurant. You do it because you didn't expect to be there. And it's like, wow. Well, I didn't expect to get the return I did last year. I really didn't. I'd be insane if I told you I expected to get what I got last year. So let's look at what the disclaimers are, because I better put some bloody disclaimers in. The market was up 25% on the S&P 500. We can't take credit for that. I can't take credit for that kind of tailwind. The following are American. I do select LSE and European stocks on my spreadsheet for people who want them, but I don't buy them. I buy US. Our further filtered finalists. So this were taken from my further filtered finalists. Again, as I've said to you already, MACD, Rising, my quality five, which are ones I always have, even if they don't quite hit the filtered list, which is Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Meta. Well, of course they did really well. What if you didn't have those? Well, let's have a look. And any special situations. This is the results from January to December I'm about to show you. We do buy all year long, like Costco, Intel, Adobe. It doesn't include those. Doesn't include any overweight or leverage, in which case, obviously, the returns would be significantly better. But it's just, and this was not a typical year. in the sense that much of 2022, for instance, was in cash, thankfully, does not mean any of these will be held into 2024 as per our 12-month holding rules. So how did we do last year? That's how we did. It was mental. It was 80%. How can you be bloody 80% up? And I've had to put these as equal holdings because it'd be unfair if I said to you, oh, well, I had twice as much money in Microsoft and Meta and Apple and Amazon, and I leveraged them. That's an unfair sort of comparison. So just assuming equality of holding. 80. But here's what's interesting, and you need to know. One is concentration. Secondly, the caveats and disclaimers I gave you, but using the same approach, how come you get one which is down 1.6% and one which is up 238? Surely if you have consistency of approach, you should have consistency of return, okay? No. I'm on a webinar. You won't get consistency of return. You'll still get volatility, which is why you don't just pick one stock. Because if you could get consistency of return by having consistency of approach, you'd just pick one stock. After all the returns are going to be the same. Why not just pick one? That's why even Warren Buffett, as a billionaire, had more than one. Okay? So, and these were some of those stocks. Now, did I know at the start of the year what the hell Sterling Infrastructure does? No. Or Medpace? No. Did I know it was going to go up that much? No, because if I did, I would have put all my money in it and leveraged it and gone to Ladbrokes and said, give me odds on NVIDIA going up 238%. And they would have said, pfft. How did NVIDIA come up? It was on the approved filtered list. It just ticked all the greens. That was it. I didn't know AI was going to be a big thing last January. I thought NVIDIA results were good because they were making graphics cards for crypto, which is what they were doing. And that's why they'd done so well prior to that. They were just making graphics cards for mining Bitcoin. I don't know if you know this. I didn't know the AI thing had happened. I kept looking at them. I was going, oh, it's doing really well. And then somebody said, oh, you know, it's AI. I went, oh, is that what it is? Flipping heck, what a company. Oh, and by the way, that and that taken together, probably with that and this, is worth more than the entire Chinese stock market. So before on social media, everybody starts saying, yeah, the American empire's about to crumble and finish and blah, blah, blah. No. As Warren Buffett says, never bet against America. Okay, you might want to, but you'll only be hurt. Now, what else do I want to show you? I want to show you something really, really important. Roughly about 20 stocks I'm happy with, 15 to 20 I'm happy with. And this is from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. I think I've got 25 years to retirement. I'm going to have 90% to 100% in stocks. Okay, you can take a picture of that. It's from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. It's not controversial. I've published it in my books and my FT column in the past. This is the letter you end up having to write to your IFA or wealth manager. Why do you keep trying to target me 4.5%? Because they're doing it in their own interest. Every single time. And by the way, if you want to know how to open a SIP or ISA to do it yourself, SIP, self-invested personal pension, ISA, individual savings account, okay, you can go to a Barclays. I chose Barclays because it's a household name everyone's heard of. Just go online like opening a bank account, and then you transfer your old pensions or you start with a bank payment. And then you just say, or there's others like this is Free Trade, okay? And there's other brokers like all of these, and these are their various charges. Okay. And you just go in and say, I want to buy £500 worth of Microsoft or whatever company and place the deal. It's simple. Okay. It's not rocket science. We are playing around with AI. I'm going to answer some questions in a second. We are playing around with AI picks. I've got to update this. Business Insider wrote a couple of brilliant articles about me and how I'm using AI to pick stocks. And they were phenomenal. I think it helped me get the blue tick on TikTok, because TikTok said we need some recent articles, because they only do, you're not going to believe this, they only give blue ticks to celebrities. So they said, no, we don't want BBC, we need written articles about you and only you. So I went, that's freaking crazy. Anyway, so Business Insider did a couple, Investors Chronicle did one as well. And this came out of those AI picks. Now, don't get carried away. You know, let's be a bit cautious before we say, right, that's it, I'm unemployed, AI's the way to go. Not entirely sure, but it has come up with stuff that I hadn't. because what had happened is it went through the same data and more. We gave it even more data because it can handle it. There's a limit to how much I can handle. And then we said to it to do not just the way I do it, because then I'd be just telling it to do what I'm doing. It's like if I type 1, 2, 3, 4 and say, can you write 1, 2, 3, 4? Oh, look, AI can do what I can do. It would be pointless. It'd come out with what I'd come in with. We told it to read and consider all the leading literature on what makes stock prices move, especially Nobel Prize winning literature. And then we gave it all this data, uploaded it. You can now upload directly onto ChatGPT, so it makes it life easier. So you can bring it right up to date to today's data on all of that, spreadsheets, ask it to read all that material. And then we said, what's going to, which are the best ones over the next 12 months? And it came up with some really good ones. I've got to update that on how it's done across the board. This is your pension. It loses 50%. In a year because Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust can't go into cash. This is when Meta and the tech companies, the MACD, crossed below its signal line, and that is you screwed. And they've not managed to recover. Okay, so down 50%. Now, they might talk about how in 2023 they went up, they won't have gone up that much. They went up a little bit. Yeah, well, thanks. You know, you've just lost me 6 years of my bloody pension. Thank you. What's the due diligence checklist for my 40%? Well, price valuation's got to be ticked. Growth has got to be ticked. Income's got to be ticked. If you're not doing these boxes, you're not ticking these, you're crossing the road with your eyes closed. That's the danger. And the other factors I want to say to you, I mean, I put it in simple terms here. That's what it looks like. I don't look at Altman. I don't look at Piotrowski. They're just there because some of my students like to look at it. And I want volatility, by the way, below 20%. Boy, do I want volatility below 20%. I don't like indigestion. Right. Value growth income, monitor 12 months, monitor infrequently, once every fortnight, 12-month holdings, 15 to 40 stocks. If it drops 25% from the peak, though, as I said, I do weekly broadcast to keep you up to date if in case we want to make that less than 25% from the peak. One strategy, that's it. One strategy, that's it. Probably that many. Now, assume you plan to invest over 10 years, and with my help, you make 20%. You might say, no. Well, last year, to remind you, that the S&P was up 25%. Okay. Let's say you got 100K, and you plan to add a bit into it. Well, over 10 years, you're getting a million. That's it. You go from 100K to a million over 10 years. That's how it's done. 10, 20, 100 million. 10, 20, 100 million. 10, 20, 100 million. That's it. Some of the clients who've paid. That's my book launch. I've discussed all of this in there as well. Not just in that book, but in this one as well. Who reads books anymore? Nobody reads books anymore. But there you go. And you can download Investing Unplugged, which is that one for free from arpishpatel.com/links. I think you can be better than overpaid fund managers like that numpty. Because that numpty was outed by me in 2004 when I won the competition in the Financial Times to forecast the markets. But you know what the newspapers do? They build them up. They said, sorry, Arpish, between the two of you, he's got the squarer jaw. So we're going to give him £9.2 billion and not you. How it is. Okay, I've showed you this before. That's the croaky one from Goldman Sachs. So their R&D department in their wealth management division is called it's the quantum database they take it from. I love that. I'm going to give you more. Which is the best book to read the stuff you're teaching us today? The one I just told you. Exactly the one I just told you. I'm halfway through Investing Unplugged. Great. Thank you, Scott. If you cash out in a stock due to it falling, do you just keep that in cash or reinvest that money that year? Well, given that I'm holding for 12-month periods, if I had to cash out of a stock in the first month, I'd probably reinvest it. But if it was in the 11th month, I'd probably wait until 12 months are over before getting into a new batch, because I don't want to have lots of stocks starting at different times of the year because it's more bureaucracy. Because of the Great Investments Program, I do have to do that because I don't want clients to think I only bought in January and then rest of the year they're bored. I keep them company and buy more. Croaky, cash is on capital invested. That's the Goldman Sachs document, and what it was this that blew my mind. 30% per annum, not every year and not every stock in the basket, but the stocks in the top quartile did that. The first quartile, the top quartile did that. Total shareholder returns companies in each sector. They did sector relative, Croaky. I found there wasn't much benefit difference of doing it so specifically. They did explain in further slides why it was sector relative, because otherwise there'll be whole sectors you leave out. It didn't bother me that we do that. That's the most important part, I think. 12 months, or has it dropped 25 from the peak, or have we become risk averse because the MACD did what it did, and in which case we might sell sooner. Okay. For cash, what do I do with my cash? It's that. This is a typical portfolio I'm sent, and people can send their portfolios in on arpashpatel.com/links. They've got a bunch of UK stocks, which are performing pretty poorly, as you can see, and that's because they're overvalued, not growing fast enough, haven't got great strong cash flow. They're very volatile, and they just can't outperform the market. That is a typical portfolio somebody sent me. And then they'll have a whole bunch of funds, which their IFAs put them in, be thousands of stocks underlying those bloody funds. And of course, as you can see, next to no performance. And by the way, we're looking at this during one of the biggest bull markets in the history of the world. If your IFA or pension fund can't get you a good return when the markets are just freaking soaring, just imagine how much it's going to cost your pension when the markets are doing pretty poorly. And that's what worries me with these IFAs. I didn't know how bad it was. This is another one somebody sent me to analyze, which I analyzed for them. And what I did is I broke down, looked into some of these. Well, I broke down and cried. I looked into some of these and then showed them why they're underperforming. And the reasons usually are they've got too many stocks that have sprayed too much money in the wrong countries. They're just not growing those stocks because the fund manager has been told you're only allowed to invest in British companies or Chinese companies or whatever else. Okay. Oh, this is really good. I have a pension with Brewin Dolphin, 1,000 different companies, scattergun effect. Yep. And we get email after email pointing this out. Here's another one. This is somebody with a lot of money who wanted help in terms of meaningful income. Now, they weren't too bad. It's that they had some good ones, but again, they didn't have it. It has to be all good. So again, they themselves have started a bit of a spray and pray. Can I tell you in the last 10 minutes something which my asset management company's launched? It's we don't manage retail client money. We're not a brokerage. We don't do any of that. We're in the business of basically trying to put St. James's Place out of business. That'd be the ambition, to put St. James's Place out of by creating an alternative asset manager. You know, it's a FTSE 100 company, St. James's Place. It's worth £3 billion. They've got 900,000 clients. I think they should be out of business because I've never heard from a client of theirs who's happy. It's pretty bloody shocking, isn't it? Not one, but I've heard from 100 who aren't. At least I want to take all their clients, and that's what we're building. That's what I want to talk to you about. We're building that, where we don't manage their money and we don't manage yours. You manage it. You run your own. We just give you the data that I've shown you and the know-how to do it, and that's it, updated every month, so you can do it and you don't have to pay any fees for any data or subscription or management the way they charge you. I had one wealth manager charges 3.5% onboarding just to bring you on. This guy said, I'm going to have to pay him 30 grand just to start with them. I've got to reply to that person tonight and say, don't do it. Anybody can learn to be a fund manager. The example I give is this young lady. She left university with a degree in English, started working for me on the 16th of July, 2006, I think it was. And 2 years later, she was working for Newton. And currently she works for Perla Capital and manages £1 billion. University, 2 years Alpesh, Newton, Polar, billion. Anybody can learn. Part-time opera singer. English literature background. Anybody can learn how to invest. It's not like brain surgery. It really isn't. So I get a load of people saying, can you do it for me? No. That would just then you'd just be paying fees to somebody else. And then that same person would have the conflict of interest that couldn't tell you to go into cash because they'd be thinking, oh shit, how can I charge them fees and tell them to hold cash? And they'd be saying, oh, you know what? It's their money. Let's just throw the dice and make them take risks. No, I tell you what I'm willing to buy. That's it. I tell you what I'm willing to buy based on the data I have of what I think's worth buying. That's it. There is no conflict. The moment my remuneration is dependent upon your performance, is the moment there's a conflict of interest and your interests will become secondary to mine. You'd be screwed. So no, I don't manage your capital. So the alternative asset manager I want to build is one where we don't manage your capital, just like Uber doesn't own cars and Airbnb doesn't own properties. That's when I perfected it when I was at university. I relied upon, I go through it, not just in this book, my others. I relied on Daniel Kahneman, Eugene Fermat, and Richard Thaler. All three economists went on to win the Nobel Prize in Economics. When I was a visiting fellow in business at Oxford University, I lectured on behavioral finance, talked about some of this. And when I set up the hedge fund, we started applying some of this stuff in the real world. We now want to, well, what I want to do, it's a personal mission as I get older, is clean up that what's happening in the pension fund industry, because I think it's a massive scandal and a scam what they're doing to people, and they're making a fortune. This past week, the CEO of Aberdeen said, oh, people should be made to save even more in their pensions and less in property. He wasn't doing that to say, please save. He was doing that because he knows he'll get the money and they'll keep delivering you 4%. Why are they delivering you 4%? Well, imagine if they did manage to get you the 55% in a year. You'd bugger off because you're retired now. You pull the money, bugger off, and spend it with someone. 4%, you're on the drip feed for the next 30 years with them, paying them fees for 30 years. They can't afford to give you too much money. It's like paying, if I go and pay staff members a lot of money, they're off. They take their bonus and run. If I pay them just enough that they still need to work next year, that's the best thing for me. That's what I do there. I'm going to answer more of your questions. We had some great, continue to do, whether it's BBC or Coutts or Financial Times, great reviews. I thought we want to use this, to spin out this. And then we tested it on clients. And I decided the first 250 I'm going to take on will have a flat, will not have any ongoing fees ever. And they'll always have me mentoring and showing them and teaching them for the first 250 to prove the concept and then get venture capital investment in and then hopefully float the whole thing. The Great Investments Program is forever. No, a lot of people ask, what will happen when you pass away? What do you think will happen to Tesla when Elon Musk dies? Do you think they're going to stop making cars? We've got a company with people who know my approach and the data. Simple as that. That's not rocket science. I mean, I should say it's not just me. But you would always, obviously, after that, you wouldn't be able to have me teaching you because I'd be under a bus. But my team know exactly what to teach you. So were I to die, by the way, I should say I'm 52 and fairly fit. Okay. What I do on webinars is let people have access to the whole program at a discount, because at webinars, I know I've got that time. You'll get the data. What I want to do, as I said with this, is now that I'm in my 50s, is use this as a springboard to launch a different type of asset management, not the traditional hedge fund, which we have, and the private equity fund and the venture capital fund that we have, but the type where, like Uber, we don't own the cars. Like this, we won't own your money. You'll have it with, say, Barclays or Hargreaves Lansdown or whoever, but you'll have the data and you'll know you want all greens, and you'll know how long you're holding for, 12 months, when to exit, and you'll get the updates, and you'll have me giving you the knowledge. We've got a whole bunch of online education at the same time, which is pretty bloody amazing. But most people don't use that. They use the one-to-ones with me instead. And when I tell them it's unlimited access to me, they get shocked. I say, you know what? I was in the Maldives. It was Sunday night. It was midnight, local time. And somebody said, what's that in your, what's that over your shoulder? I said, it's a palm tree. You know, what the hell are you doing having a call with me on a Sunday night from the Maldives? So what else are you going to do at midnight? It's freaking dark. Well, you can't go on the beach. There's crabs there. Anyway, you do this because you love it. That's the only reason to do it. These are all the benefits. So we thought, well, what is the benefit to people of trying to do all of this themselves? What is the benefit? Well, the benefit is that if you get a 15% uplift on a 100K portfolio, that's 15K in a year. That's just 1 year. Let alone the rest of your life. I mean, we try to make it into a no-brainer. What if somebody got a 10% uplift on a 300K portfolio? That's 30 grand, and that's just 1 year. That should be a no-brainer because they've got it for the rest of their lives. And so if I did fall under a bus, you'll have made your money back and you've learned the way to do it, and you still have access to the data because the rest of the team can keep going on. The shares in my company are soon to be passed on in a trust to my son. He's 5, so I think you'll be all right for a long time. They weren't bothered about what I own so much, or they wanted the database. This is what people wanted the most. They wanted the one-to-one call. So I'll highlight the things that people thought were the most important to them. Those two things. I mean, I guarantee them they'll never be confused, but they were less bothered about that. Hardly anybody cared about that, unfortunately. I wish they did. But that was it. That was it. And that was 2021. So we're not saying 2023 is some kind of aberration. That was 2021, which is an aberration as well. We just seem to be getting a lot of aberrations. You can look at a whole bunch of reviews on ArpeshPatelReviews.com. But I think the pension industry needs to be completely turned on its head. And by turned on its head, I mean you keep your money. You use the SIPs, which are tax-free, and ISA, which are tax-free, the tax avoidance scheme that the government's used, and do what the wealthy people do, to have the data and the knowledge, have the few stocks, and not be bloody passing it to buying a load of funds. Did you notice how Warren Buffett and Bill Gates didn't own a load of funds? How come? Funds are so great. Why come the richest people in the world don't seem to have funds? They're great, aren't they? No. They're meant for the little people to make sure they don't ever make too much to keep the pension industry alive. Not some kind of conspiracy theorist, but it does feel like there is something going on. You can sign up there. For it. And it is first come, first served. I'm going to answer some questions now. But anyway, that's what I think with the markets. That's what my ambitions are in terms of building a different type of asset management company. A great question. Is my value growth, Alpesh, is your value growth, I'm trying to put it somewhere where I can see it properly. Is the value growth formula a secret? Not really. It's based on valuation metrics, and those are giving a 40% weighting. Okay. So what do I mean by valuation metrics given a 40% weighting? What I mean is price earnings ratio, for instance, should be given a 40% weighting, because all algorithms, all decision making in life, including who you're going to marry, where you're going to go for dinner, which stocks you should own, depend on two things. What's important? How important is it? So once you work out that, obviously we know valuation is important. How important is it? We know from the data it's 40% weighting. Growth is 20%, dividend yields are half that, and momentum is roughly the same as growth in terms of importance. For momentum, you could use how much the markets have moved in the past few months, say 6 months. As a crude measure, cash return on capital invested, you can find the formula online, take the data from the stock market and work out which are the top quartile from the US stocks. Valuation, so growth is simple, year-on-year positive revenue growth, year-on-year positive earnings growth, simple, okay? And dividend yields, positive, just use positive as a proxy. Sortino, but above 0.3, alpha above 2%. Okay, so you're outperforming the market. And Sortino ratio, where do you get it? Google it. You can find it. It's pretty simple. That's it. Gavin, what do you do if the 12 months are up, yet the momentum of the stock is still going strong? Still ditch it, make an exception? Oh, no, Gavin, brilliant question. So let's take NVIDIA. It's been over 12 months and it's still going up. Well, that's clearly a case of you'd look at it and you say, bloody hell, it's not falling. Let's just keep going until it drops. But for most, they'll have got a bit of fizzle will have gone. You know, the MACD will already have been overbought. So most you'll get rid of, but there'll be a rare exception where you don't. I think we're the only ones who tick all these boxes. It's as simple as that on there. Alpesh, your great message. Oh, here we go. So do I get all the data as an Excel spreadsheet which gets updated? Yeah, exactly, Stephen. What happens is you get two things, actually. You get a lot more than that. The Excel's in the cloud. It's updated each month, but you get far more than just an Excel. I mean, bloody hell, if it was an Excel, it'd be worrying, wouldn't it? No. What happens is you're also getting all the global markets, including the S&P 500. We also do two more things. I convert all of that into a PowerPoint as well each month. It's not this one, which I'll show you in a second. Click that button and here it is, okay, which goes into this. So it takes all of the Excel and puts it into a PowerPoint to show which ones I particularly like, and then I do a video on that. So people aren't just being given data. What they're given is, as well as access to me, they're being given, actually, here are the ones I'm showcasing this month. It's a bit like if you've watched Billions, you get a team meeting and it's like, right, pitch me some ideas. That's the PowerPoint. That's the pitch to you, the hedge fund manager, me saying, right, for 12-month holdings, these are the ones, and this is why. I basically just took what I do in my industry and gave it into made it easier for retail clients to understand and get the advantage of. That's it. In a way, that's what that book was 25 years ago. It was just taking what I was doing in my industry and trying to explain to people in simple terms what it is we do so they could copy it and benefit from it. But what I can see from the pensions industry is that they don't. So they get a whole load of stuff which takes them through all of that and the stocks that I'd select, some of which I've discussed already with you this evening. Okay. Do I get the, yeah. Now, Adobe, would you continue to hold given the 90% drop failing a MACD? Or I think I discussed it already. It's still a hold, and you'll have seen my comment on that. Do I have to pick stocks myself? You list, provided you'll hold my hand and show you what to buy. I hold your hand, Stanislav, and I'll tell you why. One thing that we realized that's a problem with the IFA industry, well, first of all, on the fund management industry, you've never spoken to your fund manager. They'll never teach you anything. Your IFA is a salesperson. So if we're going to turn this asset management business on its head and make a $1 billion company, that's my ambition. And St. James's Place is $3 billion. If we're going to make a $1 billion company, then we're going to have to do something different, which is give you access to the knowledge of the fund manager, not just the IFA salesperson who never speaks to you. I've got a dinner for my clients on Thursday the 29th. There's 40 of them who can come. It's a 40 room capacity. So there's 40 who are coming. I'm meeting them. And I'm going to say to them, how many of you have met your fund manager that you pensions with? And they're all going to say, I don't know who the bloody hell he is. More likely, you know who the bloody your local MP is. How many of you have been taken out to chat and discuss with your IFA? Want to do it differently. Want to do it because this is people's pensions. I take the Amazon philosophy. I don't care how much it costs me. I want to make sure the other person is finding value for money and is happy. Because if they're happy, word of mouth. Is that 24 months or can that be spread over long? No, it's 24 installments monthly, 24 monthly installments. We don't want to do it longer than that because then it's just going to get a bit tedious a bit. Sorry, I missed what you said, Alpesh. Value growth score calculation gives you 7 or 8. Yeah, if value growth is 7, 8, 9, or 10. Alpesh, thanks a lot for your wisdom. Thank you very much. You're helping me a lot. Good, Stan. I'm delighted. Will a copy of this posted to us? John, yeah, you'll get an email with the, and I'll upload the video. You'll get a replay, basically, as well. Gavin, Stan, what would I recommend as an alternative? Index tracker, probably, I think. If you cash out in a stock due to it falling, do you just keep... Oh, I think I answered that. Okay, if there's no more questions, I'll make a move. But thank you all. Should I use PEG as a growth indicator? No, PEG isn't a growth indicator. It's actually a valuation indicator which incorporates growth. So it's PICE earnings growth. So you're right whilst it's got earnings growth, but it really is... a valuation measure. If PEG is under 1, then what it's actually saying is the company's undervalued, allowing for profit growth. So what I'd say with PEG is use it as a value and a growth factor if you want. We don't strictly use it. The data's in there because some of our students like it. But it's not bad. It's not bad at all. You know, under 1, it's not bad at all. But the reason you need to look at more than just that is I'll give you a classic example. Remember right at the beginning, I showed you, sorry, let me just remove the slides from everything. Not the slides. Let me remove the ink from everything. Remember right at the beginning, I showed you Microsoft. I showed you overvalued companies. And yet we're making the most money from these overvalued companies. You've got to do weighting whereby if something is overvalued, like it's got a PEG above 1, that can be overridden by higher growth. That's why it's an algorithm of what's important, how important is it? Valuation, 40%, growth, 20% weighting. Now, if your growth is through the charts and the valuation is really high, then the growth, although being a 20% weighting, outweighs the high valuation. Because the growth is off the charts. Do you see what I mean? A bit like, should I marry her or not? Nice legs. Mother-in-law's crazy. Good looking. Always speaks nicely to me. Very calm. Go on then. Those factors outweigh the negatives. That's it. I mean, put it in normal language. Okay. Should we go to that restaurant? It's a bit far, but it's Michelin star. So one way, one thing can outweigh the other. Or it's a bit far and it's not even a Michelin star. Well, then it won't outweigh it. And that's why the weighting thing is important, which people don't understand. So, and you've got to have the ability to override valuation if growth and momentum, et cetera, are strong. And like I said, 40% weighting for value, 20% for momentum, 20% for growth, and half of that for income should roughly do it. Should roughly do it, okay? So I'm giving you the right numbers. Okay, so hi, Ampish, is your, how is it? Do I have to pick stocks myself? Yeah, we handled it after that. Okay, thanks, everyone. I'm going to get going. For everyone who's signed up, I'm going to give you an email straight after this. Thank you very much. I'm very much looking forward to it. And hopefully, look, if this year turns out like next year, like last year, rather, then we're all going to do very well. Whoops, again, if it turns out the same. I don't want to show that one. I want to show this one. It's going to be another phenomenal sort of mental crazy year for the markets. If as I scroll through these there's any questions, because sometimes I scroll through these and it raises questions for people, then do let me know. In fact, I'll scroll through it to the bottom. You know what I'm talking about there, because I think there were some slides I might have missed. But what I'd say is, if you're not taking that kind of an approach, you're really shooting yourself in the foot. What I'd also say is, it's better still to do it yourself than an IFA, even if you're not taking this whole approach. Better yourself than an IFA. Seriously, the IFAs are going to kill you. And don't forget, if you want to meet me at my business event in Parliament, that's the URL. But it'll show full, so email me and I'll send you a ticket. And you can meet me. I'm co-chairing an event, a business event, be 200 people from the city. They'll be from, you know, Goldman Sachs, hedge funds, venture capital, all the rest of it. And we're talking careers. There'll be people from basically age of 20 to 70. So it's open to everyone. But like I said, it's already sold out in full, but I can send you a ticket. Arbish, can I come to your dinner party? You know about my dinner, but how do you know about my dinner party? Sorry, it's only for Great Investments Program people. Stan, sorry about that. Sorry, you can't come to it. It's only for clients. I've got another one coming up at, I've just promoted it. I've just booked a table for 10. I've got another one coming up, which is going to be gourmet. So what I've started doing, I've decided to have more contact with people, because I think you learn a lot when you're just, you know, talking to your clients, is I'm going to do one at my inn. That's my inn. I'm vegetarian, so I won't be eating things on the top right. But they've got a gourmet dinner. So I'm going to do like a dining club, an investor's dining club for my clients. So what I already say to them is I want them to network amongst themselves and help develop their businesses. So it's not just this. It's almost like, I'm not going to say a private members club, but a dining club. And what I've decided, we've got one coming up. This is another one I'm going to have at the inn. And I might do more at the inn, actually, because I love, it's funny, because when I trained as a barrister, I focused on pensions law initially. And to do investing, but bring them to a dinner at the inn, it's just a perfect symmetry. And also, honestly, I want to break this notion that people have that, oh my God, Parliament and, you know, barristers and posh dining is not for me. I grew up in Armley without a silver spoon. That's the other thing I want to do, is hopefully all of this just helps with a bit of social mobility. In the hedge fund industry, we've got clients who are like the founder of New Look. Okay, we're making rich people richer is the objective of a hedge fund. This is making regular people hopefully wealthier. Okay, and certainly it's one of the reasons to do a lot of the free education as well, because for the 10% who can afford it, great. For the 90% who can't, at least they get all the free stuff as well. Okay, thank you all. I really am going to get going now, and I think we might be out of the program. So if you've registered, well done, you got through. You will have me for life mentoring for the first 250. You are in the first 250. There is a webinar discount. Yes, the prices are going up again. And the reason for that is, you know what a phenomenal year it's been in the past year and how much people have made. We've got one or two clients who've made over $1 million. So what they're paying us is trivial for that. So that's why. So that will happen imminently within, I don't think it'll be by the end of this month, but it's going to be pretty soon. Thank you all very much. And hope you enjoyed it. And I will post this. And let me remove the screen cover. Once again, thank you. And if I'm seeing you at the Parliament event, great. If I'm seeing you, if you're already a client or you've just signed up today and you're coming to my dinner, fantastic. You're going to enjoy it. And I should say they're all regular, normal people at the dinners. It's not, you know, stuffy or fuddy at all. All right. And I might even put on my Yorkshire accent for you. Thank you all very much indeed. Thank you.